I felt her turn a bit under me and I opened my eyes. She held a large plastic water bottle up and twisted the top off. "Take a sip," she said. "Slow, not too much, you might hurl." I sipped. The water was cool, with a very faint taste I couldn't identify, and as I swallowed, I realized how parched and sore my throat was. "More," I said. "A little bit at a time," Samantha said, and she let me take another small sip. "Good," I said. I was thirsty. "Wow," she said. "Three whole words together. You're really coming around." She took a sip, too, and then put the water bottle down. "Could I have a little more?" I said, and added, "That's six words." "It sure is," she said, and she sounded happy with my wonderful new talent for using multiple words. She held the bottle to my lips, and I took another sip. It seemed to ease the muscles in my throat and brought a slight relief to my headache, as well as a growing awareness that things were not entirely as they should be. I turned my head to look around and was rewarded with an electrifying stab of pain running from my neck right up through the top of my head. But I could also see a little bit more of the world than Samantha's face and shirt, and the picture was not encouraging. There was a fluorescent strip light overhead, and it lit up a light green wall. In the place where reason said a window might have been, there was a plain, unpainted piece of plywood, and I could see nothing else without moving my head some more, which I very definitely did not want to do, considering the searing pain I had just experienced moving it this far. I slowly rolled my head back to where it had been and tried to think. I did not recognize my surroundings, but I was no longer in the refrigerator, at least. I could hear a mechanical rattle nearby, and I knew it, as any Floridian would, as the sound of a window air conditioner. But neither that nor the plywood told me anything important. "Where are we?" I asked Samantha. She swallowed a sip of water. "In a trailer," she said. "Way out in the Everglades somewhere, I don't know. One of the guys in the coven has like 50 acres out here with this thing on it, trailer, for hunting. And they brought us here like totally isolated. Nobody will ever find us out here." She sounded happy about that, but at least she remembered to look a little guilty about it and tried to cover it with a sip of water. "How?" I said. And it sounded croakish again, and I reached for the water bottle. I took another swig, a bigger one this time. "How did they get us out of the club?" I said, "with nobody seeing us." She waved a hand, and the movement jolted my head, a slight jolt, but a much larger pain. "They rolled us up in rugs," she said. "These two guys in overalls come in and carry out the rugs with us inside and dump them into a van and just drive us out here. Gonzales carpet cleaners," it said. "Easy." She gave a half smile, half shrug, and took a sip of water. I thought about it. If Deborah had still been watching, seeing two large bundles carried out would certainly have made her suspicious. And being Deb's, if she got suspicious, she would have jumped out with her gun drawn and stopped them right there and then. So she had not been watching. But why not? Would she really abandon me, her own dear brother? Leave me to a fate worse than death, although certainly including it? I didn't think she would. Not willingly. I took a sip of water and tried to think it through.